بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد عن ابي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ان الدنيا حلوة خضرة وان الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء فان اول فتنة بني اسرائيل كانت في النساء رواه مسلم. This hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which we began the discussion on yesterday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an analogy, an example of this world. He described it, he said, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرًا. He described this world with fresh fruit and fresh vegetation. Ulama mentioned the meaning behind this analogy is that fruit and vegetation, a field, an orchard, when it is fresh, it is something that is visually appealing. And it is something that draws the heart of a human being. However, the reality is that it does not remain fresh forever. Eventually it shrivels, it rots, and it decomposes. The message behind that is that likewise, do not be deceived by the visual attraction of this world. It is something that is temporary. One of the primary efforts of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to convince and to instill this reality in the hearts of Sahaba-i Kiram and in the hearts of the Ummah that dunya is temporary and akhirat is permanent. That which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. That which you have by this world, whatever you can attain, yanfad, it is temporary, is going to come to an end. It's not going to remain. Don't be deceived by its visual attraction. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. That which you will send ahead for akhirat, that which you will do for the hereafter, that will perpetuate, that will remain forever and ever. That is why we find this expression in many, many ahadith, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Every human being constantly is faced with a choice. What is the choice? Give preference to the demands of the dunya over the demands of akhirat, or give preference to akhirat over dunya. And what is the message? What is the advice that Rasulullah gives us, that Quran gives us? فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Always when faced with this challenge, with this choice, my worldly desires, the attraction of this world, or give preference to my akhirat, give preference to that which will remain forever and ever, that is the akhirat, over that which is temporary, that is the dunya. We find that one sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the conquest of Khaybar, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, with whatever mali ghanimat, spoils of war that I received from Khaybar, I traded and traded and traded, and I earned 2 uqiyah, 2 coins of silver. I earned more than anybody else earned in my one day's trading. So straight away, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He turns the attention of the sahabi away from this dunya towards akhirat. And he says to him that, should I not show you something that is better than that which you acquired? So the sahabi says, what is it, Ya Rasulullah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, 2 rakat salah that you will read after the far salah is better than whatever you have acquired from the mali ghanimat, from the returns of Khaybar. So this is that effort which Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam would make, that turn the attention to the value of akhirat over dunya. In other words, the value of a'mal over mal. And this is a constant challenge that every one of us faces. Unfortunately, we are living in an era or a period where we have become the living embodiment of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرُّ مَا أَخَذَ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. He said, a time will come upon my ummah, such will be the love and enticement and attachment of this dunya, that they will not care where wealth is coming from. Whether it is halal or whether it is haram will not even be a consideration. As long as they can fill their coffers, as long as the desire for the dunya is fulfilled. I always give this analogy. One was a period of time, sahabi is leaving his home, he's not going in jihad, he's going to the marketplace. But from behind, the wife will call out, that إِيَّاكَ وَكَسْبِ الْحَرَامِ فَإِنَّا نَسْبِرُ عَلَى الْجُوعِ وَلَا نَسْبِرُ عَلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ. She will say, beware of haram earnings, beware of bringing haram in my home, because I can make sabr over hunger, I will never be able to make sabr over the azab of Jahannam. One was that period of time. The other is this period of time. Where such are the demands that are placed on the breadwinners. And behind it is what? Keep up with the James and Jones of society. Worry about the opinions of others. So lavish wedding functions, lavish ceremonies. Constantly trying to update the standard of our life. Changing the furniture. Furniture will match the carpet. Carpet will match the curtains. Like one brother says, buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Relentless rat race. As a result of which, this tamiz, this distinction between halal and haram has no longer become a consideration. People are not worried about halal and haram. People are not worried about eating up the rights of others. This is what Rasulullah ﷺ is warning us. فَتَّقُ الدُّنْيَا. He said, fear this dunya. Fear this dunya. Don't allow its love to enter your heart. And another important point is this expression in this hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا. Allah has made you His khalifas in this world, has given you authority usage over this world. In the usage of this word khalifa, there is a subtle inference. Ulama say, and what is that? That you have inherited this world from somebody before you, so take lesson from them. The person that gave you the dunya before you, whatever you have, whatever you acquire in this world belong to somebody else before you. Take this lesson that after you it's going to belong to somebody else. It's not going to remain yours. I remember when we were in America in the year 2000 in Chicago, one very senior worker, Brother Luqman, Allah for his qabr al-nur, has passed away now. He met our Jamaat, and just out of the blue, he just met our Jamaat and he said, you know, I'll tell you people one story. So I said, what is the story? He says that, you know, there was this street sweeper and he saw this beautiful woman, and straight away the moment he saw her, he fell in love with her. And he told her, listen, I want to get married to you. So this woman said, okay, no problem. So he starts the preparation for his marriage. First thing he goes to his supervisor and he says, you know what, I'm going to be getting married shortly. I need some leave, etc. So the supervisor says, who are you getting married to? So the moment he mentions whom, this was a well-known woman, known for her beauty, known for her attraction, known for her status. So the supervisor hears the name and lalach and greed comes in his heart also. So quietly he approaches the same woman and says, I want to get married to you. The woman says, okay. So he starts his preparation. He goes to his superior, the minister. And he says, you know what, I need leave, I'm going to get married. Who are you getting married to? He hears the name. When he hears the name, he gets interested, so he approaches the woman. And she agrees, accepts his proposal also. He takes leave from the prime minister. Prime minister approaches the same woman. She accepts his proposal also. So now the news starts spreading. The same woman, how can four men get married to her? The street sweeper, supervisor, minister and prime minister. So they all come to her and say, make your mind up. Who are you going to get married to? She said, run a race. Run a race. Whoever catches me, I'll get married to him. So they start racing. Obviously, minister, prime minister are old. They can't run much. Quickly they drop out. Then is the street sweeper, then the supervisor. Supervisor drops out. Street sweeper remains. He also cannot catch this woman. Then the question was asked that who was this woman? And the response was given, this woman is the dunya. Attractive visually, such that the heart of insan appeals towards it. We chase after it and chase after it and chase after it. The more you get, the more you're worried about the fact that you're going to lose it. The more you acquire, the more you're worried about the gaze of others. The more you acquire, the more pareshani increases. And in the end, you have to leave it behind. Isa alayhi salam asked Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, show me what is the visual embodiment of this world. Allah Ta'ala showed him the image of a beautiful woman, fully clad and covered, one milky white hand stretching out towards him, calling him, the other behind the back. Then Allah Ta'ala tells him that, oh Isa, look behind the back. Why is the one hand behind? He looks behind and in that hand is a dagger. The moment he will come close, the same dagger will stab him. The same dunya will abandon you at the time when you need it. And then it is told to Isa alayhi salam, remove the veil from her face. Visually attractive, outwardly something that he was leaning towards. When he removed the veil from the face, haggard, ugly, decrepit. The world likewise outwardly attractive. If you will allow it, its attachment to enter your heart, what is the loss? What is its ugliness? It is going to destroy your akhirat. This is why Rasulullah said, Allah has made you the khalifas of this world, not so that you usurp it. not so that the love of it enters your heart. فَيَنْذُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is testing you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cautions us, فَاتَّقُ الدُّنْيَا. He said, fear this world. Beware of this dunya. Don't allow its love to enter your heart. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.